Hello and welcome back to the reading of The Simplicity Parenting, the book by me, Kim John Payne, the author. And once again, I'll be adding additional commentary into reading of the text. Now, this is chapter one, the second session, and we're picking it right up from where we left off with this quite simply. And if I perhaps read that again, just to set the scene for our diving into the text today. Quite simply, our society, with its pressures of too much, is waging an undeclared war on childhood. So, with that note, let's begin the chapter one, session two. If you looked at the lives of these kids in England searching for a signature traumatic event, well, you wouldn't find it. You might expect to see early childhood losses that would cause them to react with such nervousness and distrust, such lack of resiliency and hypervigilance. What I came to realize, however, was that there were enough of these little stresses and where a consistent baseline of stress and insecurity would add up. These little stresses accrue to the point that it makes psychological sense for kids to acquire and adopt compensatory behaviors. As I looked more closely, I realized that they were experiencing what I came to call cumulative stress reaction. The psychological community is in love with acronyms, so I added another, why not, to describe this complex of behaviors, CSR, or cumulative stress reaction. It's similar to what the American Psychological Association, or APA, now call, years later, complex post-traumatic stress disorder. The psychological community is also beginning to recognize that the attributes and behaviors I was seeing, that of hypervigilance, nervousness, anxiety, a lack of resiliency, a lack of impulse control, a lack of empathy, and a lack of perspective taking, all worsen when a child accumulates enough little pieces of stress with frequency. Such a consistent pattern of stress can accumulate into a PTSD type scenario, or what I think of as cumulative stress reaction. CSR describes a reaction to a pattern of consistent small stresses, a sort of consistent threshold of stress that may build but rarely dissipates. Please understand that I'm not referring here to the level of stress that's a fact of life. I'm not suggesting that stress should not exist for children. It does, and, well, perhaps it must. Children experience frustration, desires, illnesses, sorrows, and losses. Their lives are not stress-free, and childhood is not a series of rainbow moments, each lovelier than the next. Imagine a six-year-old, Justin, his dream life full of superheroes and superpowers, discovering in a fall from the backyard of a cherry tree that he can't fly. His left arm is damaged or broken, and it's very painful, and it's a scary scenario to see. And there is also a frantic trip to the hospital emergency room. Such childhood accidents can be awfully stressful at the time. Yet the next day, and with each retelling as a family story, the episode becomes a classic tale of bravery and of fears calmed by concerns, and of strength and of heroism. Not the flying variety of heroism, alas, but the kind that Ralph Waldo Emerson described, quote, "A hero is no braver than an ordinary man, but he is braver 5 minutes longer." The level of stress described by the term CSR, or cumulative stress reaction, in its frequency is very different from the stresses that occur quite regularly and normally in a child's everyday life. In day-to-day life, a child's moods and well-being are like a seesaw. Stress acts like a weight on one end, but once the stress is gone, the overall balance returns. The gift of a scraped knee, an argument with a friend, 5 days flat out with a flu, well, these can strengthen a child's resilience and the awareness of their own abilities. Such normal stresses are examples of necessary resistance. We all, including children, need to meet resistance in life in order to learn how to understand it, work through it, and move on. Such stresses may be worrying, but not damaging if we learn we have the skills and the support to deal with them and move beyond them. Stress that is damaging is either too large or too constant to move beyond. If our abilities or child's abilities can't match it, then he or she can't understand it or work through it, and they become stuck in a reoccurring cycle of stress reactions. CSR is characterized not by the severity of a traumatic event, but rather by the consistency or frequency of small stresses. What was the cumulative effect of all these stresses on the child's psyche and behavior? What I came to understand was that little stresses collectively drag on a child's ability to be resilient, mentally, emotionally, and physically. They interfere with concentration, with an emotional baseline of calm, and with a sense of security that allows for novelty and change. They interfere with focus, not just for the task at hand. These stresses distract from the focus or the task of actual childhood, an emerging, developing sense of self. What has also become increasingly clear to me is that so much of this stress is what we now call daily life. It is the life that surrounds our children, a daily life that is unfortunate, not that distinct from the life we lead as adults. A daily life submerged in the same media, multitasking, complex, information overload, time-pressured waters as we swim in ourselves. Quite simply, the pace of our daily lives is increasingly misaligned with the pace of childhood. Perhaps I'll read that again. Quite simply, the pace of our daily lives is increasingly misaligned with the pace of childhood. Now, this is a fairly depressing notion, really, to think of childhood being under attack. It's also difficult to unravel or pin down. I don't believe the attack is a result of conscious effort. There doesn't seem to be a bogeyman amongst us or a sinister force at work. No particular being, company, or entity bears the responsibility of this. Philip Morris, General Mills, the all-pervading marketers and advertisers and the technophiles promoting cell phones to 8-year-olds and younger, which are among all these sort of forces we can blame. All or none, really, are at fault. I don't think there are any culprits who consciously equate what they're selling or promoting with direct assault on childhood. At least that's not the way they would think about it. As a society, however, we've signed on wholeheartedly to the notion that more, bigger, newer, and faster all mean better. We've done so as a sort of survival mechanism. It's a very basic, primitive drive, albeit with its own manic, modern, Western spin. At its most basic level, it's understandable, though it's no longer serving its original purpose, and we've taken it to the point where it actually threatens rather than ensures our survival. We cram more and more into our homes, even as we're building them bigger, and our lives, even while suffering from busyness and lack of sleep, and our awareness 24-hour CNN, blogs, Blackberries, iPhones, computer homepage updates, and Facebook and Pinterest and on and on and on. According to a consumer research group, the average age at which an American kid starts mainstream technology gadgets like cell phones, MP3 players, DVDs, and the likes is now just over six and a half years. As our world accelerates to like Mach speeds, we're not only pulling our children along, we also project some of our anxieties about the speed onto them. Is there anything that we don't feel we need to hurry? Anything that we don't feel we need to enrich, improve upon, advance, or compete over? While we haven't figured out a way around the 9-month human gestation period once that baby is born, its childhood seems to be fair game for acceleration. Just a few comments to end our session today. You know, there we spoke earlier in this reading I read about, you know, the norms of stress in a childhood life. That, you know, some people have referred to that as e-stress or euphoric stress. And euphoric stress, you know, any athlete or actor or, you know, all of us know various moments in our lives where stress will actually help us rise to the occasion. And that's perfectly fine. I'm not talking about, you know, all stresses and needing to be eradicated from life, because otherwise we fall into what I call a harmony addiction, you know, where every day has to be just totally, totally wonderful. And if there's stress, it's a bad day. I'm not suggesting that at all, but it's the cumulative stress. And later on, we'll be talking about the new normal of cumulative stress becoming so ubiquitous. It's this kind of stress that more and more, since the publication of the Simplicity Parenting book, is coming to scrutiny. And what's coming to light is that these stresses, you know, do definitely accrue, and they accrue over time. And more and more evidence is coming out about this to make a very compelling case to keep a extremely careful eye on children's heightened daily level of stress, which doesn't then return back to calm. It's just it's this return back to calm which is the importance. So the levels of adrenaline, cortisol, even dopamine can just fall, and we can get back to a more centered kind of life, a calmer day or, you know, afternoon or whatever it is. It's the consistent base beat of stress that adds up, it accumulates, and it stimulates the amygdala, the lizard brain, the reptilian brain, or the fight or flight response. And our kids stay in this moderate to hypervigilance, and it just makes everything difficult. As opposed to the many parents who have simplified and balanced their lives, and one of the first things that parents usually come to see is how much calmer their kids are and how much more biddable they are, how you can work with them, laugh with them, be with them, play with them without it being so edgy. You know, being able just to joke around with a kid and not have it spill over into upset, you know, and have that in the back of your mind, but just genuinely be able to enjoy the fun of life. This is the comment that I've heard over and over, and our countless numbers of coaches around the world have heard over and over as well. It's a great comment, is just how much more fun family life becomes. And that, you know, if for nothing else, simplifying, balancing, dialing back and becoming aware of the new normal of the fast-paced, overwhelming life, it's just totally worth it. So we'll leave it there and pick up the third reading of chapter one in our next session.